We've been speaking of the Holy Spirit throughout these days. Where do you start? Where do you end? How do you accomplish in a short amount of time? Just trying to kind of put it in a package that we can get hold of, understand, and process and receive. When you're speaking of an inexhaustible God, but God is, I believe God is helping us and showing us very, in a very real way His Spirit revealed in power and presence. God has been laying this on my heart for many months now. This need to know Him in power and presence. It seems that we have a tendency to be a little bit unbalanced in that. We have some that are caught up in the power side of the Holy Spirit's manifestations and demonstrations, and so they are focused on particular gifts like healing and miracles and tongues and prophecy, and they want to see this constant commotion of the Holy Spirit. I don't say that in a negative way. Then on the other side, there are people that are content. We just kind of want to sit here in His presence and kind of just everything inward and everything internal, and we're not that interested, or we don't seem very desirous of the power of the Holy Spirit evident in our lives, in our churches. So we often kind of lean to one side or the other. I know where I lean, and I have been convicted that God wants to see in me and through me a more true representation of His Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's ministry. And so we talk about the power and the presence. I think maybe this morning a little bit on the presence side of the Holy Spirit. There's a vital part of the relationship that we have with God through the Holy Spirit. And this morning we'll talk about listening. And so in your outline books, listen up. We are living in a day where we have the ability to communicate more and more easily than we ever have. In a matter of seconds, we can be in contact with anybody anywhere in the world. It can be through email. It can be through texting. It can be through FaceTime. It can be through a conversation. It's as if there is nobody that's out of reach today. Nobody that we can't communicate with. I've been in places, and not just recently, this goes back maybe 10, 15 years when the cell phone thing was kind of taking over the world, and it literally did. I would be in places in the world. Very often we'd take teams to Central and South America to do missionary work, and we would be in the very poorest sections of the country. I mean, poverty. People that are living in dirt, and maybe they have a little mud hut with a metal roof on top of it that probably would cost us about $200 to build. They would have very little to eat. They'd walk around barefoot in dirty, ripped, torn clothes. They just had nothing. But this they would have, and it has grown to be almost universal. You would typically see a TV antenna sticking up out of their hut, and you would see them with cell phones. And there's just this thing about wanting to have contact and communication and having that ability. Our God is a speaking God, a God who communicates with us faithfully. But it seems like with all of the communication abilities and as much as we do, there's less and less listening. There's less and less actually hearing. There are a lot of issues in regard to that. Things that we really, really need to be very intentional about. We actually did, my son did a teaching on this in meetings that we have during the week, and we've dealt with cultural issues. And part of it was this matter of listening, how slow we are to listen. Usually in a conversation, we are hearing, but what we're really doing is getting our next comment or point ready. And so if you say something, we now have been triggered with thoughts and we're forming a response, and you may keep on saying things, but I'm back over here with that initial thought, and I'm just waiting for you to stop so that I can say what I want to say. And there's very little listening. How many times in a relationship, I won't say if it's a husband or wife or both, but let's just say in any relationship, you have conversations, and then later in the day, later in the week, well, I didn't know anything about that. Or, why didn't you tell me? And then we have to go back and say, well, you remember the conversation that we had, and we spent about 5 minutes talking about this thing? And you kind of look at each other one way or the other, and you really don't remember. And there really was a conversation. And it really was two ways. You even answered me. We talked about this thing. But our minds do this, and it's not necessarily because I don't care or I don't like you or I don't want to hear what you're saying, but sometimes we're just shut down and we're not really listening. And that's now a problem when it comes to our relationship with God. Someone mentioned this week also about this need to listen and how God is desiring to speak and was able to break through some ways. God is a speaking God. Right from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created, we have the first two verses, and then we start the creation in the third verse, and the words there, and God said. And then again, and God said. And then day 3, and God said. So right from the beginning, he is communicating and he is speaking. He spoke with Adam and Eve. He spoke to the serpent. He spoke to Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to Moses, to Joshua. He spoke to the judges. He spoke to and through the priests and the prophets. He spoke to kings. He speaks through his son, Hebrews, right? In the very introduction to the book of Hebrews, the writer there says, in days past, God has spoken in many ways and many times, many moments. We've seen revelation of God in the Old Testament by symbolism, rainbows and so forth, God speaking and communicating. He says we've had the law that was given to us. We're looking at that in Exodus, where God spoke to us through Moses on the mountain, very audibly, very real. And then through Moses spoke to the people with the law. It says God spoke through the prophets. But he says, now in these days, I'm speaking through my Son. He is my Word. That's John 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he comes through his Son, Jesus Christ, to speak to us. In the ministry of Jesus Christ, he goes up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And there's this incredible transfiguration, and the glory of God is shining. And appears Moses and Elijah. What do they represent? The law and the prophets. Okay? And the glory of God settles. The cloud comes down and they're petrified. And out of that, God speaks. And what does God speak? This is my chosen one. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. There's a lot in that moment. God is shifting from law and prophets now to his Son, which is Hebrews 1 that we just mentioned. And so I gave you the law and I gave you the prophets, but now I give you myself. Listen to him. And he's given us his Holy Spirit. When Jesus left the earth, he says, I'm going to give you another of the same kind that will come, and he will minister to you, and he will speak to you. And so we don't hear the audible voice of Jesus, but we need to be attuned to what the Holy Spirit is speaking. And then through the church, he's given apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers, preachers. All these that God has designed to come to us and speak. And God has spoken with authority. God has spoken with compassion and with sympathy and tenderness and love. He's spoken with rebuke and correction. He has thundered with a loud voice. And he has come with a whisper. But it seems few people are impressed. We in science are spending a lot of time trying to get to the far reaches of the universe. It is fascinating and really amazing when you consider some of the technology today and how we've been able to just keep on exploring further and further and further. I come to Pilgrim Camp. I have a Sprint phone. Some people keep asking me why. I'm an old-fashioned loyalist. I've had this same phone number and the same company from the day that I bought a bag phone. Some of you don't even know what that is. But remember what it looked like, that big army bag phone thing that you had to carry? It was the battery. The battery was like the size of a car battery, and it had a little wire that attached to the handset. And so that was your cell phone. You'd carry this bag with you. And so obviously it wasn't something you carried with you. It was for the car or whatever. And you paid a premium, and then you paid for every phone call you made. There wasn't texting when that phone came out back in the day. And so anyway, technology has come a long way. I come to camp and I lose all my service, that Sprint. I hit Lake George Village. And as soon as I pass the village, I lose my service. And so I don't understand how that's possible in today's day and age, but thank God for the internet at Pilgrim Camp and the password. But we send these satellites hundreds of thousands of miles away. And I think probably millions. I didn't do my research, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot farther than Pilgrim Camp. And we're getting back these pictures and these signals of what's going on in the deepest, well, not the deepest, but as far as we can go pretty much. And it's showing us pictures of planets and galaxies, and it's sending back sound. I don't know if you've ever listened or watched some of these videos. It's unbelievable. And we get so excited. And we ought to. I mean, it's incredible. But we're looking for something out there. We're looking for a sign of life. We're looking for a sound. Is there something out there that is different than us? Information that we can gather. If we heard a ping, a blip, we'd all be excited. All the scientists would get together. What does it mean? Where is it coming from? What's the source? Is there life somewhere out there? What's it trying to tell us? And the world, we'd have headlines and we'd have stories and there'd be a buzz waiting for just another sound, even if it's unintelligible. But the creator of the universe speaks to us and we don't blink. Here are some of the problems that we have for us. Okay, now we're not going to talk about the big bad world out there. As our sister shared, we've got some things here that God wants to deal with. What are our problems in regard to listening? One is that if I listen, it removes me from my throne. Because when God speaks, he's got some things to say. He puts things into order and perspective. Often, even as we see in our study, God would come and he would speak and say, "I am the Lord, your God." And then he would go and tell them what he had to say. Most of us, we hear that, we say, "You can stop right there. I don't want to hear another word because I have a problem with the premise that you're the Lord, my God." And so we don't like the idea of submission. Moses, God spoke to Adam in the garden. And he gave Adam commands and structure. And Adam didn't like it. And so Adam refused the word of God. There's a lot to that story. But it removed Adam. And that's where the enemy came in, right? That was the devil's argument. That's how the devil persuaded him. What was his twist? Why doesn't God want you to do? Why do you listen to him? The only reason he's telling you this is, why? Because you'll become like him. You'll be God. You'll be on the throne. And God's just telling you these things because he doesn't want you on the throne. He thinks he's that big and important. Who does he think he is? If you listen to him, you'll never get to the throne. And that's the same in our heart. We don't listen to God because it dethrones us. And so we tune him out. Another, we don't listen to God because it is hard and it goes against my will. There's an expression. The Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. It kind of works this way, and maybe you've seen it in your life to some degree. I think we all have. Well, there are moments we know we're struggling with sin, maybe with obedience, maybe with rebellion, and we seem to kind of, like Adam in the garden, we're just sort of like God. We're not comfortable right now in your presence, and so we avoid his word. We avoid prayer. We avoid church because we know when we do those things, God's going to speak. And I don't want to hear his voice right now. I don't want to feel the conviction. That's why these testimonies that have been shared even this morning have encouraged me and blessed my heart. Because some of them have been hard. We've heard even prayers of confession these days. But we've come to a place where we say, though it is difficult, God is breaking me and he's shaping my will. And he's speaking. And we're hearing testimonies that God is giving grace to listen, to respond. That's a good thing. When we come and hear broken hearts and prayers of confession, I didn't realize how bad people were. Oh no, if we're honest, we know how bad people are. If they're anything like me, really, really bad. That's not the question. It's like the shift we've seen in churches over, well, at least since I was growing up. Back in the day, you'd have church, and typically after church, we'd have prayer. Everybody come to the altar, right? Maybe some of you remember that. Hopefully it may be in some of your churches. We come to the altar and we'd seek God, and then there'd be that one person that doesn't come. And I know it shouldn't be this way, but I know in a lot of people's mind, the question was, wonder what's wrong with them. Why aren't they coming to the altar? In our churches today, we give an altar call and we tell people to come, and nobody comes except the one, and everybody sits in the pew and says, I wonder what's wrong with them. And we've shifted from a people that have recognized, woe is me, I am undone, a man of unclean lips. And we humble ourselves before God in brokenness. And now we come with pride and with the facade that nothing's wrong with me. No, we ought to be hearing prayers of confession. We ought to hear people saying, God has convicted my heart. This is what I did. This is what I shouldn't have done. This is what I didn't do. And we don't stand here and say, oh my, how terrible you are. No, thank God for hearts that are pliable, for spirits that are receiving what God is speaking. Another reason we don't listen is because we don't recognize the voice of God. We think of a baby. I know even now, it's a thing where our parents talk to the baby, even in the womb, right? And of course, the baby's always hearing mama's voice. You know, there's that connection because they're always with mama in the womb. But then you get the dads who come and they'll get down and talk to the baby through mom's belly. And they begin to hear that voice even before the baby's born. The baby does recognize the sound and the voices. And you can tell even when they're born and in very early stages of life how they can respond in different ways to different voices. I've watched it in my grandbaby again. It brings back the memories that you long forget when your children get a little bit older, and now you relive some of these things and you see how they respond to the voice of a parent. And you can watch a child be upset about something and maybe scared or afraid or hurt, and they cry and they're looking for help. And everybody runs, right? Everybody that's in the room. And there comes aunt and uncle and grandma and grandpa and dad. And everybody's trying to get in there. And then the baby's just inconsolable. And then mama speaks up. And mama gets hold. And all of a sudden, that baby just kind of rests and finds that comfort. She knows. She doesn't know what, but she knows her mama's voice. And then we begin to help them learn words, and we keep saying things like, Grandpa, Grandpa, Opa, Opa, say it, Opa, Opa, Grandpa, Grandpa. And then every so often you hear a sound, it's like, they said something, right? We heard it. They said something, and we make things up. Because we want to have the brilliant child that's talking at 4 months old. I know they said something. But there comes a time when they do say something, because we tell them long enough, say this, and we repeat this word over and over, and then they repeat the word. They've heard it, now they repeat it, but they have no idea what they're saying. There's no comprehension. As time goes on, they begin to understand little things, and they grow in that, and so they hear things, and they do. If you tell them to do something, they'll do it, and don't do it, and hopefully they don't. And they recognize some words, but it's very limited. You wouldn't say, well, okay, you're 2 years old, now recite the Constitution, or the Pythagorean Theorem, or quote for us now Deuteronomy, or Revelation, or Leviticus. You might be able to teach them some of those things, but there's no concept of it. So tell us all about the Constitution and how that has operated in the politics of the world and governance, and give us philosophies of that. And so you can get somebody to quote those things, but they don't understand them. And then they develop more and they begin to comprehend. They begin to understand reasoning. And as time goes on, you'll see in the typical relationship of mother, father, child, they begin to adopt the mindset and the values and the beliefs of the parent. And so we sometimes laugh about the quirks that abound in me and my family. Not in my family, but my family laughs at me. And I've already talked about, you know, if you're involved with somebody, of course, the first thing before you take any venture is that matter of being equally yoked. But then there are other things. There are ideas, there are values, there are philosophies, there are politics. And so they'll joke about it and say, well, this guy over here or that girl over there, they're this persuasion, they lean this way on that. And it's like, we don't want to get you in a room with them. Because they have adopted, and they know even that, it's like, this just probably is going to work. They've adopted my mindset, good or bad, and there's been both. My philosophy in life, my faith, my belief system. And then you kind of grow and you take to yourself and account for yourself with an intimate knowledge and an understanding that then shapes your own behaviors and actions and lifestyles. And so we go from a baby that has no real ability to communicate other than I know that voice, to going much, much deeper, to adopting the very mind of that person who is constantly communicating. So the problem we have with listening is we don't recognize a voice. And typically the problem there is we're never spending time with who's behind the voice. The way you hear, the way you attune, is to spend time. Sometimes people get that far and stop. And they never get beyond, well, I recognize and I feel, but I don't understand. I don't really know the values of God and the mind of God and the heart of God. I kind of recognize a voice in the distance, but you've not adopted. Like Paul says, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. There's a mind of God, a heart of God, a way of God. We read that last night, I think it was, that our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And that has to happen. And it comes with knowing his voice. People wonder why they don't know the will of God. They want to know, where is God leading? Because we don't know his voice. And it's a quick fix we're looking for. It's an easy out. And so, hey, Pastor, you have some time this week? I can come? Sure, come on. And they sit and then they begin to tell you all of the situations. And then they say, I just don't know. What do you think? I don't know where God's leading. I'm so confused. I'm not quite sure. And I'm a little bit scared. And do I do this or don't I do this? I say, why are you talking to me? I mean, I could give you some biblical counsel, but honestly, I have to wrestle hard enough to know what God's will is for my life. And now I'm supposed to know what God's will is for 100 other people? And why would you want to have me in this equation who quite frankly, could mess you up? Don't you want to hear from God? Don't you want to know directly, commune with him, fellowship with him? Because there's going to come a moment in your life where pastors are going to be around. Your Sunday school teacher is going to be around. Your friend isn't going to be around to give you some counsel and some godly wisdom. You're going to have to stand on your own. You're going to have to know the voice of God. God has spoken his word throughout history, raising up prophets and priests. He has spoken clearly to us, and he does so today. There is a prophetic word that God still gives today. There are two types of prophecy. We typically speak of a foretelling and a forthtelling. Often we think of prophecy in the context of Scripture. We think it's Old Testament, and it's the prophets who are telling us what's going to happen in hundreds or thousands of years in the future. But a prophet also was a forth-teller. He's just telling you what is now and calling people back to repentance. And if you don't do this now, God will deal now. And we hear this, or we ought to hear this type of word of God regularly. We ought to hear it in our churches. I think I started the week talking about that we have lost a prophetic word in our churches. We need to be in a place where we know we are hearing the word of God. He has called men and women today to preach his word, to declare his word, to be his mouthpiece. When you come to church, you don't just come to sit and listen and decide what you take and what you don't take and what you like and what you don't like. This isn't just a lecture. This isn't just a lesson. Here's some history and here's some principles. And so I hope you can kind of put it to use so you have a better life. Christ is present when his word is preached. There's a dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. There ought to be. Christ calls, he speaks, he proclaims, he himself is at work, and that ought to terrify us. When we come into the place where we are hearing the word of God, it ought to terrify us on both sides of the pulpit. Quite honestly, as much as I love the ministry that God has given me, I find great joy. I would be very happy not to bear this burden. It's scary. We're told that there is a great judgment for those who God has entrusted his word to, who speak on his behalf. I never wanted this. Many days now, I say, God, you can have this back. Not because I don't love it, and I don't love him. But it's not just here. You come and you sit, and you hear the word of God proclaimed, and the Spirit bringing that word to life. We have a responsibility to receive this. And we can come in and out of church and in moments hear the word of God declared, and we just shrug it off. We're dead to it. we perk up when it's something we like, or if it's a preacher we like, and they can tell stories, and they make us kind of engage us, and so, wow, I can listen to that all day long. Well, what if you got some boring old man standing in front of you that just delivered the word of God faithfully and we're falling asleep? How dare we? This is God speaking. And there is a special dynamic when we gather, which is why we're told to gather. And we're seeing this trend today in church because of this technology. And there aren't a lot of good preachers in my town. And I could just pop up on my computer or my smart TV. I hear the best preachers in the world. They don't even have to be preaching today. We've got archives, and I can go back to the classics. I got to go listen to that young guy preach. He doesn't have the skill. He doesn't have the experience. And he's stumbling around trying to find his place in ministry. And I'll just stay home and watch fill in the blank. I've heard stories of pastors. Typically, it's from large churches. I'm not knocking that. It's just that's where it typically happens. And one pastor in a large church, obviously you can't know all the people in a church of 5,000 or 10,000 or more. And you go out in town and people come up and say, "Hi, how you doing? And loved your sermon last week." And you're saying, "Hey, it's great to see you. God bless you." And you leave and you say, "Who was that?" And one pastor said he ran into somebody at the gym and approached him like that and was... "Thank you. I love your preaching. It's a great sermon, this and that." And in their conversation, it went, a little bit. And the pastor asked, a little bit about himself. And finally, he says, "Well, I don't go to your church. I just watch you online." But this man said, "You're my pastor." He said, "And that's my church. And I love it." And thought in his mind, he really was a part. He really was a member. Never been there. I know there are moments we try to get some stuff up on audio and video and be a help to people that might need it. But you can't replicate what is happening in the context of the church, which is we're given instruction. So when we come, like we've heard here, somebody has a song, somebody has a prayer, somebody has a word of God and prophecy and tongues. There's a body ministry. We're praying for one another. We're bearing one another's burden. There's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit at work here. That when you leave here, you ever do that? You're in a place like, this was the most amazing moment. And then you go out and it's like, I got to get that recording, or let's watch that video, and you flip it and it's like, I don't remember that. It seems so flat. How come I'm not feeling in my car driving down the road listening to the same message and the same singing and the same experience, and I'm not feeling the same? There is a unique working of the Holy Spirit when we gather together as believers. And God speaks in this moment. And so however the message comes, we dare not dismiss it or ignore it or disobey it or be bored by it. I figure out a way to stay awake. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I don't know how you do it. I know how I do it. And there are times where I just feel like I can tell you stories. These past couple years have been very difficult physically for me. God has helped me. I'm thankful for that. But I'd fall asleep having a conversation with people. Never happened before. It was an odd thing, and we've dealt with it. And then I'd have to sit in meetings and conferences and try to be alert. So a lot of times I'd just get up and I'd stand in the back. I'd just stand. I said, can't fall asleep if I'm standing. Well, I guess you can. Right? I didn't get that bad. If you fall asleep standing, then walk. Do something. But you've got to put yourself in a place. And in prayer, same thing. There are some times, yes, I get on my face before God, and you can be in that posture. And there are other times I know if I kneel down and close my eyes, I am out. And so in those moments, I like to walk when I pray. And I'll just walk, even if it's in my office, and I don't have a lot of room to walk in my office. Or if it's in the church, it just keeps me focused and engaged. It doesn't give me an opportunity to wander. These are sacred moments. We ought to be careful with how we do now. So here, let's just wrap this up. I'm way late. Okay, I can't wrap it up. Tonight we're going to be divided. Okay, I'll figure it out. Because we don't want to miss the end of this. There's some practical things I think that will be helpful to us. And so we'll do that. Father, I pray that you'd help us to really listen. You came to the churches in Revelation. You brought to them warning, condemnation, encouragement, promised blessings. But in each of those, in the midst of the church, you said, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking. It's the same today. Hear what the Spirit of God is speaking. So, Lord, give us those ears. And even through this day, as we go about our business, Lord, help us to be sensitive and in tune with the voice of our God. Speak, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes.
This morning, this is what the Lord was speaking with me about. Many years ago, or not too long ago, there was a message, and the Lord wanted me to, and I couldn't. And the Lord spoke with me right in my heart that you were not to be talking a lot. I wanted to be still. Mm-hmm. How can you hear me if you keep on speaking?
Right.
And he says, I'm not telling everybody to do this, but I'm telling you that you ought to listen. Mm-hmm. And as you listen, I will speak through you. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I might not say a lot, but this is how the Lord is living. He wants me to be still, to mm-hmm. hear his voice, mm-hmm. so that he can speak and I can listen.
Amen.
And this morning, it came to my heart, coming up this morning, this reminder, mm-hmm. listen. So I'm so thankful for this message.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
God, give us ears to hear.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.